Hello everyone, welcome to the Love Fruit podcast. And today we are joined by our guest Justin Carpenter. Justin, how are you and how are things today?
I'm doing wonderfully. It's I'd like to start my day with gratitude. It's another opportunity to be here, and so everything else is bonus, right? So happy to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Brilliant. So let's take it from the start, I suppose, Justin. And what I know about you is just to share with the audience, you describe yourself as a bit of an inquisitive seeker, someone that's followed their curiosity, someone that's had a number of different nomadic journeys, following a bit of a spiritual path, I would say, and that's all linked in with the raw food side of things. And how did it start out for you? Were you brought up on an alternative diet or sort of similar to everyone else?
No, I'm pretty standard American, brought up with eating any and everything. You name it, I was eating it. And it really wasn't really until I'd say 2020 when I started going further into the realization that we're not meant to eat all these things that we've been told. We were lied to about everything within life, not just the food, but the food was a big aspect of what we've been lied to about. So just coming into that realization, that linking up with the sort of spiritual connection of realizing that we're here to get connected with our Mother Earth, and we can only do that if we're not eating death and we're instead eating raw living foods that she provides freely, abundantly, without any cost. And so it just made sense on an every level, from a logical perspective. From the fact that our physiology is not designed to consume those kind of things. It's not designed to consume the flesh of creatures or anything from that aspect, processed foods especially. And then the spiritual aspect of, like, we're not here to harm other sentient beings. We're here to caretake and steward and be the best versions of ourselves. So it just made sense on every level. And then from that point on, it was just focusing on the transitional aspects of going through deeper levels of this raw food journey, realizing that it's not a simple quick fix when we've spent our entire lives poisoning ourselves, consuming these things that we're not designed to. Getting into that aspect and realizing that the detox journey is very nuanced. And so just have been enjoying that ever since, and the ups and downs from that. But it only brings rewards from it, because the rewards is true health, and health is truly wealth. So that's been kind of the intro into my journey into that space.
So how would you describe yourself just as an introduction to people that maybe haven't come across you before?
Yeah, it's hard to put me in a box. It's hard to put me in a category. But I you said it. I mean, I am a truth seeker first and foremost. So I've always had an inquiring mind. I like to joke, the first sort of conspiracy theory I unraveled was the lie they told us about Santa Claus. And my parents got so tired of me asking questions that they eventually told me. I got deeper into the truth around like 9/11 and things of that nature when I was a teenager. And then ever since then, it's just been constantly asking questions. I never settled for just because, as a reason for anything. I've got to find the answer to it. And if someone can't provide me the answer, it's out there and I'm gonna go find it. So that's been me ever since then. You mentioned the nomadic journey. I spent all of 2020 just traveling around with my dog in my van. And that was a wonderful time to really get closer with myself, grow closer with Mother Earth, and grow closer with God, our divine essence that we come from. It doesn't really matter what you call this divine source that we source from, but we know that we're all connected. And then just growing into that has been a real passion of mine, because when we realize that we're all connected and that this world that we grew up in was designed to disconnect us, it really does make life very invigorating, because you start to realize that all I have to do is peel away these layers of gunk that have been added onto me. And this, shows up in the physical space with the stuff that we've been consuming, this pus and mucus that fills our bodies. So letting go of all of that. but then letting go of all these sort of self-limiting beliefs as well, these aspects of, you know, that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, you know, these small aspects, because we're massive, we're divine co-creators within this experience. So any step we can step into that further realization, it lights me up. So I love helping people discover that. I love discovering that myself, and I love talking about it. So that's what I do on a regular basis, is just finding these ways to remember who we truly are. And that's really it. We forgot, we fell into this experience a little too deeply, you could say, and we forgot who we truly are. So just coming back into that realization and remembering our true purpose here.
Wow, great. And you mentioned living in a van for a while, or being on a journey, and a lot of people see that as a really fun thing to do, or something that would be really adventurous. But there's also, I feel like there's a lot of people that try that for a little while and can't really manage to keep it going, and it's not quite what they think it's going to be. How did you approach that, and what was your experience of it?
Well, I approached it wholeheartedly, and you know, I would agree that there's a lot of you know, van lifers out there that make it seem, you know, super glamorous, and they only show the great parts about it, and there certainly are some challenging aspects to it, but it's really hard to beat waking up in one of the most beautiful areas of the world and have no time or schedule, no place to be, no aspect to get to just set up your hammock and read a book all day, you know, like while a creek is running by, and you know, just enjoying the sunshine. Like, it's really hard to beat something like that. So that's what I did. I went to some of the most remote regions of the United States and camped in these beautiful areas, and I would stay there for weeks. And it really is, it's something that's not very well known until you start doing this, but there's so much public land, especially in the US, but all over the world, that there's so much space that has no cost, or nobody comes to bother you. And it's just, you can set up, and as long as you just take care of yourself and clean up, you know, you're more than welcome to be there. So I really enjoyed that. I traveled with the seasons as well, which was really nice. So I like to stay in that perfect range where I could spend all day with my shirt off. And then it got cool enough at night to have a campfire. So that was the kind of the perfect range. So anytime it started to get too hot, I would migrate and I'd go north and spend a few weeks in a different area. And then as soon as it got uncomfortable, I'd shift and go somewhere else. But it was a really nice way of living. And I feel like we've got a lot of roots in this sort of nomadic way of being. You know, I think there's something to growing into a space and caretaking for it and doing that as well. But I think there are also periods of our lives, and if we've been lied to about the length of our lives as well, we're not meant to just die at 60, 70, 80 years old. We're meant to live for much longer. And if we have that as a realization, then there's periods of our lives where we can be nomadic and go on an adventure and go exploring this beautiful earth that we were a part of. And there's also times where we can grow roots and have a stable space, but we can shift back and forth between these two points. But the nomadic aspect really is a part of who we are. I think there's something to this as far as our spiritual evolution, seeing different regions, getting in touch with different people, and realizing that we all want the same things out of life. We might have different cultures and different styles, which is great. It adds the beauty of the space, but we all want the same. We just want to be cared and loved for. We want to have a safe space to raise our family and to be healthy and happy.
It makes sense what you said there, which was that we have, that being nomadic is a natural part of us. I agree with that, although I don't try and live a nomadic lifestyle, but I agree that human beings probably in nature, in a natural setting, if you go back far enough, would have been nomadic in terms of, as you're saying, following the seasons, following where the food was especially, and finding different areas. And that, I think tribal peoples are pretty nomadic, and when I was in Ecuador, they talked about the idea that what happened was tribal peoples would leave an area and they would travel the rest of the year, and then they would come back to that area a year later. But a year later, another group might have moved in, taken all the land and built a farm or something, like a more advanced culture. and all of a sudden they'd kind of lost their lifestyle or whatever. But I think that a lot of people have that calling to travel for a holiday even, but also for other things like the van life because of that natural nomadic spirit. Is that something you tapped into?
Absolutely. I mean, there, I've always had a pretty good connection with God, source, creator. You know, I've always felt loved and appreciated within my life, but it wasn't really until I immersed myself, stepped away from all technology and aspects within society and the 9 to 5 and really dove deep into that, that I found that true connection. You know, to spend all this time without having any schedule, because vacation time is one thing, but you've got a week maybe a vacation or 2 weeks of vacation, and what are you going to do with that? You know, you've got that impending deadline where I'm like, I've got to be somewhere, I've got to go back to work. But when I had no deadline to be anywhere, it really allowed myself to go deeply into that space and just realize this is how we're meant to live. We're not meant to tether ourselves to a 9 to 5 job and have that be. We didn't come here to work and do that for our lives. We came here to experience, you know. And of course, there's aspects where we can work hard, but it should be working hard on something we're passionate about, not something that we just have to do in order to survive or in order to pay rent or pay taxes or whatever this case may be. So just realizing that is helping help me to shift into this more spiritually minded aspect of we're here to spiritually evolve, and everything else is kind of, icing on the cake to have fun in this experience, but we're here to like step into ourselves.
And you said something interesting there. You said you've always had a good connection with source or God. What do you mean by that? What's your experience of that? Maybe you can tell some stories about that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I grew up in a sort of traditional Christian background. My father was a minister. He hasn't preached in a long time, but he is a minister. So I grew up in a very church setting, and I definitely moved away from the church life. Like I never felt a true connection in that space, although, I never went through any sort of negative event within that aspect as well. It was just kind of like it seemed dead to me. It seemed like there wasn't much to it. So realizing that, and then kind of learning more about the truth around the roots of the Catholic Church and why that was brought up and why the religious system was really just designed as a system to control people, I moved away from the church. And I kind of moved away from God in my mind as well. You know, I tied the two together, and I thought that they were one and the same. And so I spent a few years in my early 20s, late teens and early 20s, as kind of an agnostic. You know, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm just gonna figure myself out and see what there is to do. And I'd say it really was kind of experimenting more, maybe more in a party aspect, but it came into more of a being a more of a spiritual experience, experimenting with psychedelics and things of this nature that really started to unravel this connection point and this fact that we are all connected and we're all stemming from the same source. And then I realized, oh wow, the church had nothing to do with God. It was actually the antithesis of God. You know, they were designed in the exact opposite to disconnect us from this knowing that we're connected, but we are all connected. And so I was like, God never left me. He's always been with me. You know, the source creator has always been with me, always benevolently guiding me through this path. And when you start to be more open to that recognition, you start to see all the signs of like, where are these nudges and guidances? And then you realize that it's just you at your highest perspective. You know, this source creator is just your highest vantage point, guiding you to the space where you can create into your highest potential. And that's what source is doing for all of us. It's our highest vantage point, our highest point of expression, nudging us along to say, hey, like if you go this way, this is where you can maximize your potential. Or you can go this way and it's full of kind of pain and suffering. You know, that's our choice within this space is to move, whether we're you know, like the idea behind the church and sin. It's sin is just means without. So sin is not this dogmatic term that means that you're bad and doing things and you have to be punished. But if I'm going to choose to eat something that my body is not designed for, I'm sinning because I'm poisoning myself. And so I'm going to suffer because of that. And I'm taking myself away from the ease and flow of what I can experience if I'm eating something that's in alignment with my body. So it's not like God is judgmental. It's just there's karmic repercussions because this creation is very fundamentally set up, and we can either act in alignment with it or we can act in discord with it. And that's our choice. You know, it's just our choice within that space. So realizing that, and realizing that everything is designed to maximize our benefit, maximize our potential, then all I have to do is just sort of lean back and accept the flow that's moving through me and allow that to guide me to that space, be open to seeking the truth, which will guide me naturally to that space of highest potential. And that's what divine source always does. It's always guiding us towards truth, towards that space where I can be the best version of me.
So let's get back to your beginning. So when you were growing up, did you experience health issues from the standard diet and lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like anything life-threatening. I don't have any major debilitations. You know, I always had heartburn, which was just a pain all the time, and so would take medications for that, and never, you know, linked two and two together that the food was causing it, and you know, went to the doctors and they said it was like birth defects and all these other kinds of things. And so, you know, realizing that was a bunch of nonsense was a big realization. But no, I never had, you know, I was certainly more overweight at the time, eating all the junk food. But it wasn't anything that was majorly debilitating. My body was, you know, our bodies are pretty miraculous when it comes down to it. The fact that we can eat all these poisonous things for so long. You know, and there are people who are still out there who consist on Big Macs and Diet Cokes, you know, and that's their diet, you know, and the fact that they're still breathing is a miracle. That's a miracle that the body is able to work through that and still survive to an extent. You know, it's a much lesser form of living, but it is surviving. And so that, you know, it always amazes me in that perspective. But no, to answer your question, I don't really have any like major debilitations that led me to that space, sure, other than just sort of minor discomforts here and there.
Yeah, so it seems like the when I've interviewed a lot of people, many people have had health reason that they've started to change their diet. They've had specific health reasons. And similar to yourself, I experienced heartburn and constipation and some discomforts like that, but I never had a major issue, and I've always thought, so what was my main motivation? But it seems like it's this kind of drive for truth and the spiritual aspect and kind of trying to live your biggest and best life, I guess. It seems like these are some of the motivations behind it for you. So what was the first moment when you changed your diet or thought about doing it or opened up to that idea? What happened?
Well, I mean, I would say it was coming into the like stepping into 2020, and you know, I was already very familiar that we'd been lied to about so much within our lives. I didn't trust the government. I didn't trust a lot of aspects within society. So when the whole, you know, COVID thing came along and reared its ugly head, I didn't trust it. I didn't trust it for a second. You know, I knew this was overly hyped, and that just led me deeper into this path of you know, seeking truth and finding those who were speaking about it. And it really did create a very clear divide as far as who was willing to just abdicate and go into this medical idea of the fact that we've got to fear this virus that, you know, whatever, and or people who wanted to ask questions about it. And I came across the teachings of Charlie Freak, and he was really the one who introduced me to the fact that we are frugivores. We're not designed to eat meat or flesh or any of these kind of things. And he was spot on with a whole bunch of other different things. So that really sort of kick my ass. I didn't really want to believe that at first. I was still eating meat. I still like to eat those kind of things. I was still drinking, but after enough times listening to it and realizing that he was spot on so many different things, it got to this point where I was like, I can't argue with this. There's no way that I can look at this aspect from a spiritual perspective, a logical perspective, from any way that you can look at this, and I can deny this. So if I deny this further, then I'm lying to myself, and I don't do that. I am a truth seeker. So once I've realized that something is true, I go full force into it.
Sure.
And at that point, once I realized that, then it was going straight into cutting off all aspects, all meat, dairy, eggs, all alcohol, all processed foods. And I went straight into a juice cleanse and didn't look back. You know, I never looked back. You know, I've dabbled back into cooked foods for different periods over the years, but for the most part, it's been raw. It's been primarily fruit. And you know, a lot of fasting as well, and just going deeper into these areas. So that was kind of the point that it really changed.
Yeah, I'd be curious. You mentioned psychedelics earlier on, and something I've never experimented with. But as you have went further on this health journey, do you see psychedelics as being in alignment with that, with the journey of better health, or something? Potentially not, or what do you think?
Well, it's a tool given to us that can be used to elevate, but like any tool, it can be used as a debilitating crutch as well. So it just depends on how responsible you are in using it. I think some people, I happen to accidentally kind of fall into it in a way that helped me a lot. But I've seen others who fall into that kind of stuff and they use it as a crutch, and it ends up hurting them in the long run as well. So it depends. I mean, it's not necessary. There's nothing necessary about it as far as like us needing to have that on our journey, but it's here. They're plants grown in the ground, you know, so they're here for a reason. I believe that everything that is on this earth is here for a reason. And so I think what it can do is if we find ourselves falling into a state of poor health, and this includes mental health, then these are aspects that can help bring us back into alignment. Just like all herbs are there as a medicinal reason, you know, to help bring us back into a space of physical health if we need it. And they're all designed for different things. But at the end of the day, we don't need the herbs once we're in a state of health. You know, once we're there, we don't need those tools any longer. So it's just recognizing kind of where am I on the spiritual journey? Could I use this as a knack to help realign me, or am I past that point and I need to keep going without it? Because all these sort of high states that you might get from using a psychedelic, they're all natural. You know, they're all based on what our brain and our body can do without those kind of things. So it's really just they're reminders to get us back to that space so we can keep going. But if you're not careful, they can be limitations. You know, like I've seen people overuse marijuana and cannabis and things of that nature to the point where it becomes a numbing mechanism, and they're not using it to elevate themselves any longer. They're not using it medicinally to help them curtail any pain or something like that. They're just using it as a way to escape. And when you use it in that capacity, then it's not helping you spiritually advance any longer. So I think it's just something to be careful with, but you can use responsibly if you need to feel the need to try it or experiment with it.
So your transition to a more raw or a more vegan diet, whichever way you look at it, was it sudden? Was it overnight? Did it take time? Did you need help with it? Like how did that process go for you?
Yeah, well, it was sudden as far as making a lot of shifts. Like I mentioned, I cut all animal products, all processed foods, alcohol, everything really overnight, and jumped straight into a juice cleanse. And that was eye-opening in the sense that, you know, I feel like when anyone goes on a juice cleanse, you go through Well, at least in my experience in talking with people, and I really do enjoy hearing other people's experiences on how they go through transitions, because I think it varies. It seems to vary quite a bit from individual to individual, and I think our body compositions and what we've done to our body really make a big difference. But for me, I experienced some pretty heavy detox symptoms, from cold and flu-like symptoms, a lot of mouth ulcers, a lot of headaches, nausea, things of that nature for the first 10 to 14 days when I jumped into a juice cleanse. And then from that point on, there was like a honeymoon phase where I had a month or two where I felt really good. I just felt very clear, vibrant. My skin, my joint health, flexibility, everything was wonderful. I had so much clarity in my mind. I loved that aspect. But then after a couple months into, and so I did a juice cleanse for 21 days, I think, and did a little bit of water fasting. And then I stayed 100% raw at that point. So I was just eating primarily fruit, but all raw, fruits and veggies, sometimes nuts and seeds. But then after a few months, it started to kind of, the detox started to come back again, and there are waves of detox that we go through when we sort of transition like that, and that's why I don't necessarily advocate people going into it the way that I did. I think the slow transition can be a lot more helpful for people to really acclimate to it, because my body didn't quite catch up to the transition, the how hard and fast I was going into it. Whereas I lost a lot of weight, I lost a lot of strength. My hair was falling out quite a bit, and so I did end up sort of pumping the brakes on that transitional journey about, I'd say, a year into it, and I went back to some cooked foods, and I did notice my body kind of bounced back quickly, clearly indicating that I was still addicted and dependent on these types of foods. So I knew that the journey was still leading me towards this raw living space, but I also recognized that my body needed some more time to transition through that. So it became a more of a strategic aspect where I started to, learn more about, these different methods of fasting and recognizing that, we do need to focus on clearing our elimination pathways. The bowels need to be clear, the liver needs to be cleansed, the kidneys need to be cleansed. All these things need to be addressed in order for our body to function properly. And if we skip steps or do something too quickly, then it can lead to toxins moving from one area of the body to another and not being able to be eliminated. So I enjoy that part of the process too, of just learning from other people who have been on this journey, learning different strategies to go into it, and then just employing them and trying them. And then having lots of other people who are doing the same thing to sort of bounce off ideas and go through that. But yeah, I feel like I'm in a pretty good space now. I'm still 100% raw and feeling good, feeling right.
What's
So
a typical day for you on a raw vegan diet?
yeah, so right now I've found a good balance with doing. I start out with right recently it's been coconut water, so I've got to get a bunch of fresh coconuts here in Mexico, and so I'll start out with coconut water on the rising, and then I'll shift to a fruit meal. So I'll have some I had cantaloupe yesterday. Mangoes are in season right here, so I've just been gorging on mangoes. So I'll eat a bunch of fruit until sort of late afternoon, and then I kind of have a heavier meal, which is it's usually a salad or some type of raw wrap, where I'll just make like lettuce wraps or whatever. I try and keep it pretty simple, just cutting up. I don't eat a ton of vegetables. Sometimes I'll have carrots, sometimes I'll have celery, but usually it's veggie fruits, so tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, things of that nature. And avocados as well. So I'll make like a raw dressing with avocados and tomatoes. And I still, I recognize that salt is not the best thing for my body. I do still consume salt. I recognize that it's an addiction and something that doesn't really sit well with me, but I haven't gotten to the point where I'm really ready to let go of that as well. So I still use that on occasion. And yeah, so That's about my
That's
typical
great.
day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And you've obviously got aspirations for quite, like, you've got quite a high standard there. You're talking about cutting out salt and things like that. Like, you're looking to take this to the highest level. Is that what inspires you with that? Like, is it just how it makes you feel, or what is it?
Yeah, it really is just a feeling, you know, just being in tune with my body and seeing, you know, going periods. I just went through a period of 3 weeks without any salt, and I was doing a lot of juicing and 100% just sort of juicy fruits. And I noticed a shift in my energy level. I noticed a shift in how I feel. And then when I reintroduce the salt, you know, I see the puffiness around my eyes come back, and I see just, and I feel just a little bit of lethargy when I consume that kind of stuff. So all these signs are pointing to, like, I don't need to be eating that. But I do really enjoy it. So I'm being gentle with myself in that capacity as well. I have spaces that I want to get to. But I also am enjoying the journey. So it might take me, you know, months or years before I get to that space where I'm really able to just completely let that go. But I do know that's something that I eventually want to do, just because I feel so much better without it. But
Sure.
it's a process, and I'm enjoying it.
Sure. On your path to going raw, you mentioned a guy called Charlie Freak, who I've never actually heard of before, and I think
Oh,
I'll go
nice.
research. But did you have any other mentors, guides, books you read, YouTube channels? Was there anyone in particular that you followed or got some information from?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been lots, you know, and a lot of them you've interviewed, which has been great. Josh X would be another one. He was the one who led the juice cleanse that I first went on. Great insight into that. Santos Bonacci, another big one, big advocate for staying away from animals and getting back to our raw living diet. And then Eli Martyr with the Free Melon Society, Shane Sterling. I love those guys. And actually, Casey Vegetable Police.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a great one as well. We used to do a show series together where it was called Mankind's Quest for True Health, and we had, I think 9 episodes in that series. And each one we brought on a different guest. So we had Eli come on one time. We had Shane come on one time. With several other people come into that space. Nathan Mulder, he's a great one for juice cleansing tips and stuff on that. But yeah, really enjoy just discussing with other people their journey and their way of going into this space. And I really enjoy the community because there's so much there's you already got that sort of a common ground of seeking something
Yeah.
higher, seeking something better. And so just talking with people in that space is always really rewarding. So yeah, I dabble and go around. Recently I've been, let's see, I've been following what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. His channel is Fasting with Trevor. So Trevor, he does a lot of into he gets a lot of into dry fasting. Chris Manley is another one who's real big in the sort of breatharian community. I really enjoy his perspective. So yeah, there's a lot of people out there that I enjoy tuning into and just seeing what's going on.
So you were in, did you say you did a show with Vegetable Police?
Yeah, we had a series on my YouTube channel before my YouTube channel got taken down. So that's another thing, like, because I talk about things that you know are a little counter to the narrative that society likes to bring, I've been censored quite a few times on different platforms. So that was back on my old YouTube channel. We had a series going with Vegetable Police, and he's a wonderful man. But that was a great one. But YouTube channel got taken down. You know, for unknown reasons that they didn't really explain.
Right. You mentioned a name there that I think I've seen before, Santos Bonacci, who I had no idea would be connected with veganism or whatever. I think that he's kind of, I guess you'd call him a conspiracy theorist. I feel like I've seen his name come up in that kind of circle. A lot of esoteric information and stuff like that. Is that the same guy? Is he Australian or something?
Yeah, he's from Australia. He lives in Mexico, over on the Yucatan.
Oh, yeah.
Now, but but he's big into this concept called syncretism, which syncretism is just the fact that everything's connected. You just have to find the aspects that connect it all. So he's real big into astrology and the truth about our origins, where we come from, the sort of path that's laid out before us, and the ways to step into the fact that, we're our body's designed to live for as long as we want it to. It's not designed to die. We just have to get into alignment with that aspect and activate our full self. And so he's got a lot of great teachings on human physiology, and aspects within ourselves. But yeah, he's a wonderful voice within this space, and he's gone deep into these higher gnosis truths that we don't often hear too much about any longer. So he's brought a lot of that into light, which I really appreciated. A lot of ancient wisdom, it's not, he doesn't claim credit to it, but it's just bringing it to light of what we used to know that we kind of forgot.
Did you notice a lot of benefits to going raw? Did you notice some noticeable benefits?
Absolutely. Yeah, the clarity was the biggest aspect, just being able to because 2020 was when I started to come out more publicly on social media and sort of declare myself as a truth seeker, and for better, for worse, within that space, lost a lot of friends and family of old, who didn't really enjoy and didn't enjoy hearing from me speaking about these kind of things. And really realized who was still in my corner throughout all of that. But speaking publicly before I was raw, and then coming out and doing videos and shows and things after the fact, I notice a stark contrast between the ways that I'm able to just pull things out and speak and flow through that. And just thinking and any of those aspects, it's just so much more capable, staying on a raw living diet. And even when I've gone into, moments of going back into cooked foods, I notice a sharp decline in the ways that I'm able to speak and flow on things. So that's been the biggest noticing. But general health and well-being, and just feeling like I don't need to sleep quite as much. I don't need to, I don't feel tired. I don't have this like draining sort of lethargic way of being that I used to experience. So those have been kind of the main areas. But everything seems to add to this point of just it gets better. It just continues to get better and better.
So, I guess what I would like to try and touch upon is something I was thinking about was a lot of the kind of truth-seeking information and say conspiracy, whatever you want to label it. A lot of it could be very interesting, right? And let's say the pyramids were built by someone else or something, or whatever it was, right? Whatever, some 9/11, this happened, or whatever these different concepts, even the earth is flat, whatever it is. How does this, like, for the average person, even if it is real, like, or it is true, whatever, how much does that really help a person with their life on a day-to-day basis? And like, can it be just a bit of a distraction? Is something that I'm kind of, I think with the food thing, there's such an obvious benefit to someone finding out changing my diet makes this big impact on my health. And that's the one big area. I think it's a big deal. But what about some of the other things? Do you think it could be a bit of a distraction? Do you think it's worthwhile? What do you kind of get from that?
Well, I'd say anytime that we're either consciously or unconsciously taking on a lie, so, something that's untrue, it's doing poor things to our health and our well-being overall. So, it's one space to be in a kind of well, I don't know, and we'll see. That's a much more open perspective. As long as that's genuinely and you're open to knowing and learning, then that's fine. That's a great space to be in this sort of like, well, I don't know, but we'll see. But when people consciously take on a lie and say that is the way that it is, but that's not true, on a deep level, this sends out this because we're frequency and we're vibration. We're vibrational beings here having this experience. We're manifest in this physical form. We're light beings. So we are, you know, the picture from Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, where it's got the white light shining through the prism and it creates the seven colors.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. That's us. We stem from this source light, and we have this experience that this light is shining through to create the seven colors, which represents the seven chakras within us. So we are these seven colored beings walking about having this experience. And so any time that we introduce something that is untrue within our being, that frequency really affects our whole being. It affects everything. Right. So I agree 100% that the food aspect is probably the most important thing for people to come to terms with first and foremost, because if you're physically eating a bunch of stuff that is not in alignment with you, you're lying to yourself and telling yourself that this is okay for you. And so that not only physically is it causing problems, but that concept that is a lie is also causing problems. But this applies in every area. So I'd say there's no such thing as a distraction as far as seeking truth. It can be if people get lost in these concepts and then they don't have any grounding. You know, we need to take what's important to us right here and now and not get too overwhelmed with the grander scope if we're not ready to handle that. But after a certain point, it's good to recognize all these layers of things that we've been lied to about. And this includes everything. You know, we've been lied to about our history. We've been lied to about the shape of the earth. We've been lied to about every aspect within the concept of who we are. And this is by design, because the more that we're in this state of discord, then the more that we're able to be programmed, the more we're able to be instilled with fear and shift it around like puppets. And that's ultimately what those who seek to control want to do, is to divide us in as much discord as possible so that we're not even connected to ourselves or to who we truly are. And then we can be steered just like cattle. And that's really what it comes down to is in order to be sovereign, in order to be truly responsible for myself. I mean, it's just in the word responsible, able to respond, responsible. So if I'm able to respond, then I have to know what's going on. If I don't know what's going on and I don't know what's around me, I'm not really able to accurately respond, and therefore I'm able to be enslaved. And so this is really what it all comes down to, is us stepping back into this space of being responsible and saying, I don't want to play this game any longer where someone else is telling me how to live my life or what I have to eat or where I have to live or how I have to be. And I want to take full ownership of this experience and learn what all it entails and what all there is to it.
I'm kind of listening to you, and I'm forgetting to think about questions and stuff like that. So sorry, but
that's all good.
We're coming. I think we're coming towards the end of our time, and it's been really interesting listening to you. What are some of the tips you would have for beginners to this, specifically the raw food lifestyle, and as well, what are some of the mistakes you see people make?
Yeah, tips. Tips is, I'd say go slow. Well, it really depends. It depends. If you want to go fast, you want to go hard and fast, then just know what you're signing up for, and know that you're going to need some time away from commitments and, you know, work requirements and family obligations and things of that nature if you want to go hard and fast, because the fastest way to get through this is through fasting, is through whether that's juice cleansing, which is a form, somewhat of a form of fasting, because you're resting your digestive system, or going deeper into water fasting and dry fasting and things of this nature. You can really accelerate this process. But you've got to know what you're signing up for. This can be a challenging and a sort of a painful route to go through detoxing this quickly. So I'd say for most people, it's better to transition slowly and do this by, you know, first step is just change your breakfast. So your breakfast, the first meal of the day, change that from anything else to 100% fruit. Fruit is the easiest meal to digest. It's the easiest thing to assimilate. So really master that. You know, don't just say, I'm going to do this for a week and I'll be good. Now do it to where this becomes a part of your everyday life, to
Wow.
where you're waking up every day and the first meal that you're eating is only fruit and nothing else. And then move on from that to where you're just slowly acclimating and bringing more raw foods, more living foods, and you're cutting out more of the stuff, the processed foods. Processed foods should go first and foremost, even if people aren't quite ready to let go of the animal products. Let go of the processed foods, all this garbage that has ingredients, all this stuff. You know, if you can read an ingredients list and you don't recognize everything on it, then it's not food. And even stuff with an ingredients list, it's processed to some degree. So just moving away from stuff with ingredients lists altogether is a great step to go into. It's a great way to accelerate this this path. And then moving away from animal products in general is another wonderful step, because especially cheese. I mean, cheese is just such a detrimental aspect of our health, and you know, and yeah, all animal products, you know, meat as well. You're not only taking on the fact that we're not designed to eat that substance, but you're also taking on the karmic repercussions of the suffering that that creature went through. So just really taking that to heart, and knowing that the more that I consume this stuff, the more I'm just holding myself back. So those would be some tips to kind of get going. And then it's just incrementally going deeper into it, you know, just exploring. Learning, I think, is the biggest aspect. You know, we can't expect somebody else to do it for us or to teach us everything. We have to really take ownership of this process and learn from people like Ronnie, learn from people like myself, learn from people who are doing this, who are sharing this message and have experience in the matter, so that you can take it on and do it yourself, and learn from your own experiences and go through that.
And
yeah.
something that a lot of people, sorry, and well, what about the mistakes? That was the next part of it, mistakes you see people make.
Yeah. So mistakes that I made were probably jumping in too quickly and not really taking the ramifications of what that meant to. But I don't really regret that either, because I fortunately was in a period of my life where I could spend, you know, a few months looking very weak and small framed, you know, I didn't mind that. And I didn't mind like losing some of my hair, because I knew it was going to grow back. You know, I knew that it would come back. So I didn't mind going through that, but you need to know what you're going through if you are going to experience that. And some people, it catches them by surprise. And then they end up blaming the fruit, or they blame the raw food as the source of their problems. And then they end up going back to the foods that were debilitating them. And then they feel better on a certain degree because they're not detoxing any longer, but you're really just slowly poisoning yourself once again. And so that's why learning about everything is so important to do first and foremost, because then you truly know that this is the path to follow. And anything uncomfortable that I do experience, sure, I can mitigate it by finding a different strategy to address that thing. But I do need to go through that in order to come out on the other side. Because this is a big concept within sort of spiritual evolution, is this phoenix burning and then rising from the ashes. And this is something that we all have to experience. And it's not something that you just experience one time. This is this ego death that some people will call it, you know, this reborning that we all experience, where we have to let go and let that old version of ourselves die, so that we can be born again and step into who we truly are. And like I said, this happens many times. It's not just a one and done aspect, but we have to be willing to let go of our attachment to this identity that we've created based on a world that we've been lied to, you know, about what we've been eating and everything else within it, so that I can step into my true self and recognize that I am meant for so much more than this. I'm not just meant to eat. I'm not just meant to work. I'm not just meant for all this kind of stuff. I'm meant for so much more. And yeah, that takes a real surrender to letting go. You know, you start to realize that this is a very difficult part of it. And so it's not just a physical journey. And that's something that where I think some people get stuck up on is this only looking at the physical aspects to it. The physical aspects are going to reveal parts of you to go through, which can be quite emotional, can be quite intense to go through as well. But we need to embrace all aspects of this and not skip any steps and pretend like that's going to, you know, just do it. It's it's a holistic journey. It's a holistic journey in every part. And so the more that we can view it in this holistic way, the better we can move through it in as comfortable a way as possible, still embracing the challenge, but getting excited about the challenges instead of becoming overwhelmed by them.
Let me ask you about the social aspect of this, because a lot of people struggle with that. And how do you, I mean, you seem to be someone that's kind of quite happy to be on your own. You've went out living in a van for years and things like that. But how do you find friendships, community, maybe even relationships, like just even meeting other people that are like-minded? Do you find it a struggle to find friendship, or is that something easy for you? And how do you go about finding that and fitting in with the raw food diet and everything?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is not a conventional way that we were used to finding friends and people within this space, because naturally this is, you know, just to look at it from a sort of biblical terms, this is the straight and narrow path, and the straight and narrow path is few and far traveled. There are not many people walking this path because it's a challenging path. It's not the easy path. The wide and spacious path is the easy one. So that's why there's a lot of people on it. So naturally it is going to refine. And I think that's why it's really important to start with that relationship with self as being your foundation. Because if I'm building my foundation off my relationship with myself, my relationship with my higher power, then I don't need a relationship with others. And so I'm not searching for that to try and fill some hole within myself. Oftentimes we get stuck in this idea that I need to get in a relationship or I need to have friends so that I distract myself away from this internal journey of really getting connected with who I am and what I'm doing. So I'd say starting with that first and foremost is essential to build that foundation so that I can actually have true relationships with other people and I'm not just projecting that mess onto somebody else. But once that comes into play and once I have that sort of foundation built, then it really is, to me, it's not trying to make it happen any certain way. It's just trusting the process and trusting that I am being guided by this higher benevolent source. And when I'm ready, then I'll have these relationships. You know, I'll have friends and people come into my life that are aligned on that path. That's we're magnetic beings. And so when we are resonating at any particular frequency, we both repel those who are not vibrating at that frequency and we attract those who are. And this is just a natural byproduct of how we exist. So you'll notice as you start to change your diet and move into a higher frequency, you will start to repel all your friends and family of old because they're not choosing to rise within your frequency. So naturally it starts to push them away and you don't even have to do anything about it. It just naturally happens. And I think we've all experienced that to some degree or another, but also in that same vein, and it might take time to get to this space because we've really got to be ready for it. You will also attract those who are ready and are aligned to that same frequency. And so for me, it's just been completely trusting that, you know, completely trusting that that will happen when it's ready to. I put myself out there a lot. You know, I do shows and, you know, have conversations. The Telegram's the space where I'm at the most as of recently. But I put myself out there quite a lot. So I've attracted quite a few people who are aligned with the same message and aligned with the same wanting and yearning for truth. And so it has afforded me to find friends online that I can relate to. But as far as physically around me, you know, no, it's still very much the matrix. It's still very much difficult to find people who are aligned with this path. I think naturally we'll move into a space where that will become easier as the world kind of shifts into this way of being, because naturally everybody will. We're just kind of on the leading edge of that happening. So we've got to embrace this leadership role of being the first one up over the wall and say, okay, I recognize that somebody had to do this. Somebody had to take that first step and say, hey, what we were doing was not the way, but this is. And so I can courageously step into that role and say, okay, I'm happy to be the first one to take the slings and arrows, and I'm happy to be the first one to do that. And not the first. I mean, there are plenty of others who are doing it as well, but relatively, there's not many who are doing this. just trusting that everyone will catch up when they're ready, you know, when they're ready to embrace this, they will catch up, and I'll be there to reach out my hand and say, welcome, you know, welcome. Thanks for stepping into this.
Yeah. So how can people reach out to you, find out more about you, follow you? And I think you mentioned Telegram, but where can they maybe learn from you as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So I post everything that I do on my website. That's probably the easiest space to remember and see everything. So that's justincarpenter.org. You can find all my stuff. You can contact me there. You can find all my links to everywhere else. And then the space where I speak the most is on Telegram. So that's where we have live shows. I do a live show almost like four or five times every week, sometimes more often. We have different series and stuff that we do regularly. You can find my channel. It's listed as Justin Carpenter. The tag on Telegram is at Justin Carpenter 33. That's my channel tag. So you can find me there. And I love Telegram because it's an engaging conversation, and it's open to anyone who wants to participate. So I'll usually have a theme that I'll talk about for the first 20, 30 minutes, an hour maybe, and then I'll open it up to conversations from anybody who wants to ask questions or engage. And I love that format because then it does create that connection even more so. And we're able to talk about things that people want to talk about. So every conversation that I have is pretty open and engaging like that. So anyone's more than welcome to join in that space and come and ask questions or share their experiences. And we all learn from each other. We all learn through that. So like, you know, for example, just in the health space, every Monday on this channel, this is a friend of mine's channel, but I participate every single week. It's called Healing is a Feeling. And we have a live chat every Monday where we just go over different strategies that we're all employing on stepping through these different detox journeys and going deeper into things like juice cleansing and fasting and, you know, ways that we can help improve on each other's path and share our experience on what's worked and what hasn't. But it's a great way to connect in that kind of way and share and really go deeper into this holistic health journey. So that's just an example of a conversation that we'll have on Telegram that I really enjoy. I enjoy that connection point because, yeah, connecting is the most revolutionary thing we can do in a society that's designed to disconnect us in every single way. The more that we can facilitate connection, that's the revolution. And it doesn't have to include any violence or anything like that. It's just connecting, you know, just really recognizing that we're all stemming from the same source and that, you know, you're just another aspect of me. And we're just having this wonderful experience where I get to live my life from my perspective. And then you get to live yours from your perspective. And then we get to share and compare notes and have a party and enjoy it. You know, it just becomes this fun dynamic experience for us all to explore together. So yeah, that's those are kind of the main areas you can find me and connect.
Thank you very much, Justin. And who should we interview next, do you think? Do you have any people you like to listen to or anyone that we might have not have heard of that we could reach out to? You've given us a few names already. I think you said Josh X, Charlie Freak, maybe the Santos, maybe even Vegetable Police, who not been able to get in touch with before. But anyone, any other names spring to mind?
Well, I mentioned Chris Manley. If you haven't interviewed him, he'd be a great one. Yeah, Josh would be great. Charlie would be great. Santos would be great. Who else?
Any women you like?
I don't know if you've interviewed Freely, the Banana Girl.
Yeah, sure.
She's great. I think, who else? Tony Jessup with Rawlicious You. I don't know if you've reached out to her, but she's phenomenal. She's wonderful. Good friend of mine. Trying to think of who else.
No, thank you. That's great already. So yeah. we'll leave it at that. But that was thank you for your time again. You were on Fruity Fridays before, and everyone can check out the interview in the Fruity Fridays actually in the Fruit Fest archive. If you're interested, go to fruitfest.co.uk. You can find out about the UK Fruit Fest, which is the festival that takes place every year and will happen the last week of July, generally this year. Generally, it's the last week of July this year. It's 21st to the 28th of July. And there might be some tickets left when this comes out. I can't guarantee you that, but you can go to fruitfest.co.uk for more information on that. You can also join us on our Fruity Fridays. That's every Friday night. We have a free live call on Zoom, and there's a link there on the Fruitfest website as well for that. And you can join the archive, which is you get a free month, and then you can get access to all of our presentations for that period of time. And presentations from the festival, from the Fruity Fridays, from other online events. And hopefully that's something that is beneficial to a lot of you. But thank you everyone for watching and listening. Any last message before you go, Justin?
Well, just want to thank you, Ronnie, for all that you're doing. You know, I just recently got the raw food bundle that y'all did together, and really appreciate all the work that you put into just spreading this message and getting this word out, because this really is such an important step for us all to address cleaning up our bodies so that we can clean our minds and clean our souls so that we can be the best versions of ourselves. So it's an incredibly important message. Just honor the journey, honor the space that you're in. If we're just honest with ourselves about where we are, and don't try and compare yourself to Ronnie, don't try and compare yourself to me. Just be honest with where you are and that next step of where you can incrementally move towards that space of highest expression that is you. And just remember that we're just trying to be the best versions of us. And so yeah, thanks, Ronnie. I really appreciate you having me on. This was a great conversation.
Brilliant, Justin, and we hope to see you again. Thank you,
Yeah.
everyone, for listening and watching. See you on another episode of the Love Fruit Podcast.